From WBOI Fort Wayne and Monstrous Regiment Media, this is Women Are Fort Wayne, a podcast highlighting the amazing things women are doing in Fort Wayne, Indiana, the struggles we face, and the tools that help us rise. I'm your host, Stephanie Gottesman, a Fort Wayne transplant and entrepreneur, getting to know my new home through great conversations with inspiring women. Join me and get to know things you may not have discovered about our charming Summit City. Welcome back to Silver Birch Studios. I hope you all have had a great few weeks. Thank you to everybody that wrote or called in with shout outs and feedback. We're always grateful to hear from our listeners. I'm sure that all of you can remember what it felt like to be a teenager. The rampant insecurity, the feelings of dismay at the state of the world, the sense of never quite belonging. Many of us, me included, were badly bullied and struggled with life-threatening mental illness as a result. It's an issue that for me hits very close to home. And I'm saying that coming from a place of relative privilege. For young people growing up with greater hardship, it can be all too easy to slip through the cracks. Studies show, though, that one caring adult can make all the difference, and today I'm honored to be here with one woman who has shown up as a caring adult in the lives of more than 2,000 young women here in Fort Wayne. Denita Washington is the Adams Township Trustee and the Executive Director of Fort Wayne Girls Rock. Her organization provides mentorship, counseling, and programs that focus on building spirituality, supporting education, and creating self-empowerment opportunities for young ladies. She's made it her life's work to shape the lives of young people, and her driving mission is to guide young women from pain into purpose. Through Girls Rock, she works with a diverse population of teenagers, including many who have lived through exceptional hardship, to become resilient and powerful young women. Thank you so much for being here with me today, Denita. It's truly an honor.
No, thank you for having me. I'm humbled.
I was really, really humbled when I heard about the work that you're doing. It's really an incredible mission that you've created, and you've grown the whole organization from the ground up.
Yeah, it's definitely God's plan, so I'm just kind of trusting him. I'm the navigator.
You're navigating it beautifully.
Thank you.
Before we dig too deeply into the specific programs, would you give our listeners some broad brushstrokes about the mission and goals of Girls Rock?
Well, our mission is to create and sustain programs that focus on building spirituality, supporting education, creating self-empowerment opportunities for young ladies in the state of Indiana and abroad. Because we used to, when we first started, it was just Fort Wayne, then we went to state, and then we got the experience of going abroad. And so, and part of our vision is empowering young ladies, you know, from the inside out, to support positive growth and change in our community, wherever their community is. Because so many times, girls don't see themselves as being a part of the table and the decision makers. And so it doesn't start when you're running for office or when you're going for a job as a CEO. It starts in first, second, third grade. And so we want to start igniting, you know, the fire of young girls at a very young age. So we support middle through 12th grade girls in our program.
That's such a vital age, too.
It is. It's critical.
And it's an age that doesn't always get the level of service that it needs.
Yeah, I agree. I think a lot of times parents think middle school, they're kind of growing up enough that we can unleash and we can let go a little bit. But then we find out really quickly as things start to crumble for girls that they still need us. You know, they still need us to guide. And what's funny is most of them still want support, mm-hmm. even though they portray as if I'm an adult, leave me alone, I'm preteen, I'm teen. But they really do want structure. We just got to know how and when to give it.
I'm a girl of power, poise, and potential. I'm greater than my reflection in the mirror. I shall pursue my dreams and develop my ambitions. I shall speak with authority and sit at tables with queens. I will not compromise or compare. I will not fear nor be afraid. I shall go and do and exemplify the way for future generations. I'm a girl who rocks in my mind. I'm a girl who rocks in my spirit. I am a girl who rocks.
And the Girls Pledge is so, it's something that about 2 years in Girls Rock, I started thinking, okay, what is it that we can, that can be our mantra that would speak to everything that we are trying to possess with girls? And so a young lady named Heather Gatson, who was a part of our program, she is a writer. You know, as women, we all have these things that we do on the side. And so she said, I would love to write something. And so I got with her and I said, she had been experiencing Girls Rock for a couple of years. And so I got with her and I said, let your heart go. Tell me what you deem and see when you're here. And so that's when she came up with the Girls Pledge. And we did some tweaks and a couple times with some girls, included them in the process to see if it matched what we are trying to put out. Is that what they receive? And it did.
When did you start the organization? How long has this been going?
Oh, this is our 10-year anniversary. So it was March 2011.
Wow.
Yeah, that we kind of kickstarted it off. We were in the school for about a year at New Haven and Harding, Paul Harding High School. I was working there and just kind of was babying it a little bit in 2011. And then 2012, I asked Tabitha Durham, now it's Tabitha Irving with the Renaissance Y, and now she's at Jurgensen Y. But I needed a space, I needed a facility that would be neutral, because every time I was at a school, I had been doing girls programs for years in the school system, and since 95, actually. And so what I did was I asked her, I said, I need a space that will not be judged by, if I'm in a certain church, then those church members will only send their kids. If I'm in a certain school, it would be for that school. And she said, oh, I would love to do that. And so she opened her doors for our first big event in 2012. So it was on ever since we did that magical moment.
What was that first event?
Oh, man, I knew you were going to ask me that. And I want to say, I think it was Shine Bright Like a Diamond. We do a lot of theme songs. We take songs that we hear that the girls enjoy. But we did that. That event was special because everybody is a diamond, sometimes in the rough and sometimes on a platform. But we all are a diamond. And the beauty of diamonds are they're built under pressure. And the ones that can withstand the greatest pressure have the opportunity to be the purest. And so we teach about that a lot of times in Girls Rock, is that a lot of times our girls are ones who have had horrific experiences in life. They've had moments that, you know, not even us as adults have been tested. And so we want them to understand that to whom much is given, much is required. And that pressure, if they can learn to withstand, if they can get past that moment, that there is purpose on the other side. And that diamond usually has a very good quality when it's set up on the shelf, when it has withstood that kind of pressure. And so that's why we themed it that, you know, that year, because we wanted girls to understand you have withstood and you're going to go further. But with that pressure comes great responsibility.
You've shared with me that your driving mission is to guide young women from pain into purpose. What inspired you to pursue that mission?
Yeah, you know, it's personal. It started when I was in Metro Youth Sports years ago as a cheerleader, and I had been asked to be the captain, you know. And at the time, you know, I don't understand. I've always been chosen to lead. But this moment was different because after being chosen, I had to walk home. So people who live in that area and know Memorial Park to McCormick Apartments, I had girls that really literally, you know, assaulted me. In this day and age, it would probably be an assault. All the way home until I got to Adams Elementary, and my sister happened to be at Adams hanging out. She's a little older. And I was weeping because I didn't understand girls that were a part of my team for a couple years, who I deemed as a friend, became very offended by me being chosen. And I didn't understand that. I was young. I didn't get it. I learned very quickly that that was a very painful moment for me. Of course, anyone who knows my sister knows she kind of took care of them in a way that I don't always agree with now. But, you know, she saw my pain and became angry. And so that moment changed me, though. You know, it really, really shifted how I saw myself. I became very afraid. And even when I talk about it, I sometimes get choked up because it robbed me of my freedom and my thoughts and who I was. And so for a few years, I didn't, when asked to do leadership roles, I wouldn't take them. So finally we go to middle school at Black Hawk Middle School. I'll never forget it. I made the cheerleading squad and I refused to be on the team because those same girls didn't make it. And I knew how they would treat me if I had continued. So that year I taught cheers to some girls on the team. I would stay after and help a little bit, but I wouldn't cheer. And so moved on. I ended up playing basketball and things like that. But every moment of my life from then, I have always kind of questioned leadership when it is brought up on me. I'm always challenged mentally because I always have to think about who am I going to lose. Who will not accept, who will not like, who will not see me after this position is taken. So, you know, that is something that has birthed Girls Rock because I want girls to understand that they have to unapologetically take their seat at the table. Everybody has a table that they're gifted to go to. And when the opportunity comes, you have to be unafraid to do it, even if it costs you people that you love.
Female competition can be such an incredibly toxic thing that happens in our culture. Mm-hmm. And I am sure that I know I personally can relate to your story very, very deeply. And I'm sure that many of our listeners can as well. I'm so inspired and impressed that you took that deeply painful experience and were able to put it under pressure and turn it into something that is truly valuable to the girls in this community. You've shared with me that you've personally learned a lot about how to best support the girls in the challenges they face, specifically around mental health, which I know is something that can and does show up very frequently, especially for young women that have had hard backgrounds and that have faced bullying. Can you share a bit about your journey on how the program has evolved to offer a truly safe space to girls?
Yeah, I'll never forget this moment. We were doing an overnight and we did a circle. We do circles. And we were talking about, I can't even remember, Janelle Lane, I think, and I was working in East Allen at the time, and we were doing what we call circles. And we had circled up in the room, and girls just began to pour out, like, you know, about just life and struggles and, you know, their thoughts on suicide ended up coming out. I mean, just a lot of different things. And people were weeping, even some of my mentors who were there. And I was afraid to send girls home open the next day because I thought, I'm not sure if we covered it like we should have. And I called a friend of mine, and he is an expert in the field. And he said, hey, don't ever do that again. If you don't have people in the room that have the skill set and have the, you know, and they're not, you know, licensed for that talk, don't do it because you are liable. If you open them and you don't, you know, and something happens. And so from that moment on, that was probably about 4 years in the programming. From that moment on, I started making sure building relationships with school counselors, guidance counselors, just counselors all over. Alice Jordan Miles at IPFW was instrumental. I really went to her and said, I need help. I need to make sure that I'm equipped to do this work, because this is something that even I left feeling overwhelmed, you know. And so she did that. She ended up sending me to several trainings to get, you know, trained in suicide prevention. I'm now a trainer, you know, just all kinds of different programs. So kudos to Alice because she's an advocate for this work. But I think so many organizations and people do it haphazardly just because their heart is in the right place. They want to help. They want to, but the in helping, you can hurt more. And I had to learn that lesson that night. Luckily, no one did anything that left there that night, but I left there afraid at what I had opened and did not heal and did not have the tools to offer them a space of other places. And so moving forward, I've just been very careful. So now we have what we call our dad panel. And because in our surveys, that was one of the biggest things that we saw of hurt for girls is the dad-daughter relationship. And so we started really digging into that. Like, how do we look at this? And so what I did was I brought in, I didn't bring in Fortune 500 dads in suit and ties. I really listened to my girls, and I brought in dads who had been incarcerated, who had been estranged from their children because of the relationship between mom and dad. And then we brought in dads who had healthy relationships as well, but also still needed some work, you know, because even as much as they deemed it as healthy, there were still areas of struggle. And so that has been the most amazing sessions that we offer. You know, the parents, moms ask all the time, are you doing a dad panel this time? Girls will say, are we doing a dad-daughter panel this time? And so we've had Pastor Anthony Payton here in Fort Wayne, he and his daughter, her being a daughter of a pastor and becoming pregnant, first year of college. Great conversation, because most people deem it as, oh, she's a pastor's daughter and she made a choice and made a mistake. But how he was able to love her publicly and privately, that this is still my daughter, you know, and girls needed to hear that, you know. And I had one dad, Corey Bay Johnson, who was incarcerated 2 times. He did 4 years and did another 4 years. And he spoke so much truth to the heart of moms, telling them to not blame themselves, that sometimes men, we are just have our own demons that we're fighting, and that you are not at fault for the choices that we continue to make, knowing it is a selfish move. He hands down just told, and there were mothers in that room weeping, and not that he was the father of their kids, but to put a voice to what hadn't been said to them. Powerful. And so we also had a young man, Steve Jackson, who's on the video, who talks about his daughter and the mother of his child when they divorced. Very painful divorce, but he was very determined to be a part of her life. And so even when he moved to Florida, he put in his budget. You know, he quit buying excess stuff and he put in his budget where months and months he flew back home. And so, you know, just having those conversations, and that piece was powerful because some of the dads on the panel who were struggling in relationships with their daughters who lived long distance were weeping because there's no option, he told them. We have a responsibility, so there is no option. And so it's funny how it just organically worked with the dad-daughter panels. And every time that we do them, there's a different angle that takes place. But people leave there, come in broken, but leave there better.
There are so few opportunities in our culture for men to truly be vulnerable in their communities. And I'd say that every single one of them is a blessing and a gift. So thank you so much on behalf of every person who has been touched by those groups for putting those together.
Thank you.
How big has the program gotten today?
Oof. So today, you know, we used to, when we first started, we did events. So we'd have these amazing, you know, one day hitters, and people would leave on fire, and, you know, and then we didn't do anything for 2 or 3 months. And so then people began to get hungry. So we started out doing 2 or 3 a year. And then people are like, why can't you do this all the time? I'm like, first of all, budget. Secondly, space. You know, just all the dynamics. And so we did that for about 2 or 3 years. And then about the 4 and 5 year, I started saying, okay, how are we going to shift the atmosphere? Because we can do events and people will come and they will feel better for that moment. But I want something sustaining. How can we get something that's more sustaining? So then we went to quarterly events where we at least were consistent with doing it quarterly. That lasted another year or so. And then over the past 2 years, I really dug in and said, okay, Danita, how do we start meeting with kids on a regular basis just to keep relationship? Because I learned the power of relationship in this programming. And so that's when last year we did one Sunday every other week. Renaissance Y, Amos Norman offered this space. And awesome time. The problem is that people were used to numbers of 150, 200, because that's an event. That's different. And so I restructured and I now do a piece called Lead Her Ship, Girls Rock. And that's where we meet every other Sunday. Now we meet one Sunday a month. And we go over, and that is smaller from the big events, same concept, but just smaller. So I have about 25 to 30 girls. And those girls, we will track the remainder of the year. So we look at grades, social emotional issues, parent pieces. And so it's just a little bit different. It's more intense. They have a contract. The girls have a contract that they sign, their parents sign, to agree that they will stick with it, because hot commodity, people want to be in it. And if you're chosen, then you need to stay with your commitment. So that's one piece and how it looks different. The second piece is now that we are in schools. So we're part of two school systems, Fort Wayne Community Schools and East Allen County Schools. And initially, that was something we always dreamed of. And just over the last 2 years, that dream is starting to manifest. We're at East Allen County Schools, EAU, and Paul Harding. And then we are at Fort Wayne Community Schools, Nebraska. And Nebraska is a unique situation because that's the opportunity school where young ladies have been suspended out of the normal school system. And they are housed there. And I love, love, love that program because I like what people will deem as the underdog, you know, because those are the girls who have so much potential, but just hasn't been tapped into. And so I'm so gracious to Fort Wayne Community Schools for catching a vision that those girls matter, you know, that they are not just a throwaway. And so that they are investing some money and some time into healing those girls so that they can go back into the systems and continue their life. It's a moment. It's not their life sentence. And so I'm really excited about that program as well. So that's kind of where we are right now. Those two initiatives, the school programming and then the once a month Sunday of programming that we do.
Before our interview, Danita shared with me a number of powerful stories from programs Girls Rock has organized over the years, which we'll share with you here in a bit. We were fortunate enough to have the chance to speak directly with three of the young women who have participated in the program.
My name is Deja Ely, and I am 17 years old. I joined Girls Rock in sixth grade because I recently had my grandfather pass away, and he was like a father figure to me, so I needed that support, and Girls Rock gave me that support. Even though they didn't know what they were doing for me, I knew, and having like a girls just network really helped me get through his passing. What I love most about Girls Rock is the sisterhood you get from it, because you walk in originally not knowing anyone, but as you keep going to things, they become your sisters. And most of the girls I've met in Girls Rock when I was in sixth grade are some of my greatest friends. My favorite memory of Girls Rock would definitely be the Three Rivers Festival, because it was just a great way to show off Fort Wayne Girls Rock and show them that even though we may be young teenage girls and like the minority, we're still out here making changes for our community.
My name is Trinity Pilot and I'm 15 years old and I go to Northside High School. I joined Girls Rock because it's a lot of fun. You take a lot of trips to go everywhere and you meet new people. My favorite trip was the Circle City Classic. I got to meet different people from colleges to see the experience, what I want to do when I get out of school. I want to be a professional dancer. What I love most is I like to talk with Miss Danita, and Like, she's very amazing. And we talk about our experiences, what to do in life, and how to help you once you get out of school and all that. Loving myself, taking care of my family, do what I need to do.
My name is Jaya, and I'm 15 years old. I joined Girls Rock because of my mom at first, but then once I got around everybody, it just seemed like it was somewhere that I felt that I wanted to be and needed to be because of the positive environment that it sets for everyone and the goals that they have or want us to achieve for ourselves. So being a part of Girls Rock is different from a normal day of high school, because in high school there's other people that are always trying to bring you down and don't want to see you happy. But in Girls Rock, it's you're surrounded by people who have the same goals and want to achieve more things just like you do, and try to uplift you instead of trying to make it seem like you're not going to get very far in life when you know you are, and it just helps you a lot. Some of my goals are, I want to be an orthodontist, and I want to go to Fisk, mainly because it's HBCU and I like the experience that it gives. And after that, I just want to help others, and treat. I want people to see the different side of how life can be, besides trying to fit in with everybody else and trying to feel like if you don't do certain things, then you're not what everybody wants you to be. You can be who you want to be. When we went to, I want to say it was Kentucky, but I'm not sure. Yeah, I think it was Kentucky. We went to Kentucky and we drove on this van. It was very early in the morning. I was very tired, and we drove from here. And we were with the Boys and Girls Club, and we went to this place, and it was just different people, police officers and different people with different occupations. They just came and talked to us about life and goals that we should achieve and set for ourselves. And it really helped. It really gave me a different outlook on life. And how I should be starting now, especially because I'm in high school now, and I only have 3 years left, so it's coming. It's coming very fast. So, Miss Danita is very sweet, and she's very genuine about what she does. She really honestly never takes no for an answer, I can tell you that. And once she sets her mind on something, it's nothing else can block it or try to change her mind. And I like that about her. I like how she keeps her word. She definitely keeps her word about everything that she says. And it's just nice to have somebody that you can trust or talk to when you need them. And she's always there for anybody that needs it. So that's a good thing about somebody, because you don't have many people like that in the world now. So I like that.
One of the girls that was with us today, Trinity Pilot, who's 15 years old, was here with her mother. Her mother's name is Ebony. And she was actually one of the girls that was in Danita's previous program, Lakeside Ladies, back when she was a teenager. As we recorded these interviews, I was really struck by how powerful it was to be in a room with these three young ladies, this woman who has been a mentor to them, and two of their mothers. It felt like I had set foot into a village that really took care of each other, that was generational and that had each other's backs. It was so moving and so humbling, and I was so incredibly grateful to have the opportunity to speak with them.
The one thing about this relationship, it doesn't end when they graduate high school. It continues and it evolves. And the prayer is that they come back from their pain to purpose process and birth into other girls, help them be all that they can be. I know that college is in their next level arena. One will remain here and go to school, but I'm excited about that as well, because that's not a setback. That's usually a setup for Girls Rock to have someone who is in partnership right after high school while still journeying their college level. So I'm excited.
Would you share with our listeners some of the ways that you have encouraged young women to own their beauty?
Oh, my. Part of it is we have a session that Carla Jennings, who does Urban Body Yoga Studio, And Carla comes in and she talks to girls about one of her titles was, "Do You Want a Muffin Waist or an Apple Bottom?" And I loved that session because it wasn't about the physical. The title was just to draw them in with laughter. But she really talked to them about how they could make small adjustments in their eating and in taking more water. Little things that they could do that could help them own their beauty. And that it was individualized. That what might work for me may not work for you. Because our bodies are different, but that it is my body. And she talks about on a yoga mat that this is your mat. And what goes on your mat, I don't know how she says it, but it makes me feel good. Because whether I can bend low, upward dog, downward dog, whatever I can do, it's mine. And to be present in that and be happy with that. And so it helped girls to want to do it. You know, she's come a couple times. And it just made my heart flutter. And so those are moments for Girls Rock when that happens, that they can stand a little taller afterwards and understand that, you know, that's a part of owning your beauty. I do a piece titled Make the Mirror Your Best Friend. And listen to the song by Layla Hathaway, Make the Mirror Your Best Friend, because she speaks about looking in the mirror and looking deeper than the physical, but owning it. And that if you can love that person first, then friendships come so much easier, you know? And so I really do a piece. That's one of my most powerful pieces that I do with the girls. And so I did that as a mom and mentor session as well. And Moms Weep. You will be amazed at how many women cannot look in a full length mirror.
So tell us a little bit about these mom and mentor sessions. What does that title mean?
The title means that, you know, We do it for moms, but not all girls have a mom present. And so we didn't want to exclude. And so we title anyone that's not your, you know, birth mother, they are your mentor, you know, and they are welcome. You know, we also want to offer it for school people. We had a lot of questions a lot of times when we were doing sessions. They heard about the mom session. They say, "Oh, but I work with kids. I would love to come." And so we expanded it. It was like, you are the mother to children when they're in your schools, your after school programs, you know, your Wilson Center brings a van of kids. And so Shirley and her team of women, they're mother to those girls. They are the second mom, you know, and so we didn't want to exclude. So that's what our session means when you hear mom and mentor, that they are a part of the Girls Rock family. And we want, just as well as we heal girls, we want them to be able to work through their healing process as well. Because what we found in our surveys is that we would work on girls for a couple years, but they still were going home to parents who may not have done any work to heal their hurt. And so we wanted to unfold that for moms. And we didn't want to always have to charge them. You know, that this is a space sometimes that you come, or if we do have costs, they're very minimal most of the time, but that we wanted them to be a partner in their parenting with us. And so it has created such a safeness that parents trust us, you know, so that has been good for us as well. It's a plus. If there ever was a problem, I think that we've built the relationship enough that it could be repaired, you know, it could be fixed immediately. And people ask me all the time, how do you get parents there? I said, I don't know. I think because they are hungry for difference themselves. You know, I think sometimes people think that parents who have kids that misbehave at school, they don't care. That's not true. They don't have the tools. And so we want to give them tools on how to be better, you know, and what better is at their level and for them.
Can you tell us a bit about what those programs look like?
Yeah, we have, like I said, they usually are the same time that the girls come when we have our sessions. And so usually we bring in experts and people to come in. And not always experts. Sometimes there are other moms who have just gone through something. So like me, the Make the Mirror Your Best Friend has been a session that we've done. We do financial literacy, where I usually bring in, we brought in First Source Bank, First Federal Bank, so that moms can understand. Usually the biggest stressor for parents and mentors is financial. And so that was one of the things that we looked on our surveys. And when we asked parents, what are things you want to hear or know about? That was a big one. And so we've done that 2 or 3 times, bringing people in. We do a health and fitness piece that really is big, because one of the biggest second or third biggest pieces is health. A lot of our parents are on the move. They're just trying to work and survive. And so teaching them how to eat healthy on a budget, you know, is critical. So we've had Parkview Live come in and do some work. Carla Jennings come in. Transitional Health has been awesome. Yolanda Naylor and Yolanda Walker, two women here in the city kind of just getting going. But they've come in and talked to parents about, you know, even the red dyes and Cheetos and things that they're feeding their kids. You control, you know, the what goes into your kids' bodies. And that was a powerful session. So just kind of sessions like that we do that is equipping them for greater, whatever that greater is in whatever area.
One of the things that I found charming beyond all of the amazing things that you've already said was that you like to send people home with something that they can have as a tangible reminder of their experience. And for those of you listening, I'm currently holding one of these tangible objects in my hand. To paint the picture for you a little bit, I'm holding what looks like a very typical medicine bottle, and it has a variety of objects in it. And on the surface, it looks like something that you wouldn't expect to see on somebody's bedside table or on display in their home. But I know that this sort of thing holds a lot of value to the people who go through your sessions. Would you mind describing what it is that I'm holding and why?
Oh, I would love to. Part of one of the sessions that I did with moms was the medicine bottle. And part of it is because, like I said, so many times, moms are coming in and they're broken. They're just battered emotionally. But they're still pressing. They're still moving. And what I've learned is that we will cover girl it up. We will look amazing. Our kids are going to look amazing. And we are silently suffering on the inside. And so I love people to leave with symbols. Like, and this is affordable, because Girls Rock is all about budget. And so one of the things that's inside of the bottle is two M&Ms. And I titled that, the M&Ms are the motherly message.
Ooh.
Always be the one to equip your kids with the motherly message that will take them out beyond the world. Because you can't be there all the time. But the two M&Ms is something that you are giving your kids that they can always, it's embedded. They will know when they're making choices and you're not present, what's going to be my mother's motherly message. And so I got that from Anita Dort. She used to give those M&Ms out at Lakeside Middle School when I worked there. And she would hand kids two, she kept a jar and she'd hand them two M&Ms. And they'd be like, oh, is this a motherly message? And she's like, yeah. You know, I need you to understand. So that's the two M&Ms. The Band-Aid in there is to heal from your past and stop covering it up. Too many times our kids know our pain. They've witnessed it. They lived it with us. But we think we're hiding it. And so we Band-Aid a lot of what's going on around them. And what we're giving them, though, is mental illness 101. Like, we're letting them know that that's the way to handle it, and it's not. And so then it becomes a cancer. And, you know, Band-Aid can't sustain cancer, right? It can't contain it. And so eventually it's going to be infected. Something's going to take over under that Band-Aid. And so one of the things I tell parents all the time is remove the Band-Aid. Allow air to get to it so that the healing can start, the flow of blood, your life can go. And so that's one of the things with the Band-Aids that I want parents to understand, that you think you're shielding and hiding. There are some wounds that need to be open. Your kids need to know this is what has happened and this is how I made it over. And so they can have a complete balance to who they are and to whom they're going to be. And that needs to come from you, because if not, then the lessons come from outside of you and then it's out of your control. You know, the other one I have is a cotton ball. And I always tell parents, cotton is so soft. I love cotton balls. And you want your kids, for you to be the cotton ball that they can land on. Be their soft space. Cotton balls are meant to usually clean up mess, germs, get all the, you know, gook out. But when they mess up, you know, allow them that you be their safe space. You be the soft space that they can land on, that they know even when they mess up, you got them. You know, my son did something in middle school one time, and I worked in the building with him at Lakeside. And I said to him, tell me the truth so I know how to deal with this. You know, and I can remember, he was frightened. And he told the truth. But I told him, I'm your safe space. You wear my name. And your last name means something. And so we will get through it, you know, and we did. And now I listen to him with his daughter, you know, and she made a choice in school, third grade. Nothing has, you know, all too off the cuff. But, you know, I reminded him, Cotton Ball, be her soft space. Let her land softly, even though she missed it. Let her know. Remember your soft space that I gave you? Grace. So that's the Cotton Ball, you know, that they understand that. The Q-tip. It has two ends that are soft. But what would those two ends be without the primary stick? See, sometimes we neglect people's roles and what they mean in our life. But everybody plays a role, and sometimes we overlook what people bring to the table. That stick is critical to a Q-tip. It's not a Q-tip anymore if it doesn't have that piece. And that piece doesn't play, we don't think that it does anything, because the other two sides is what really is the usage, right? Clean. So I don't want people to forget anybody. There are people that play roles in your children's lives. They may be at the lunch table, could be the custodian, the lunchroom lady, the bus driver, you know, an aunt, a grandma who you think got dementia and can't speak. But for whatever reason, your child sees that person, and that person sees your child. Never underestimate the power of relationship. Don't worry about what it looks like. That coach that's white and you're African American and you don't think it matters. You know, some of the greatest people have played roles and they don't look like me in my life. I met Connie Kerrigan at Lakeside Middle School, and she was a nurse, and we just loved helping people. And she loved helping kids. Oh, about 5 years later, she was at Parkview, and I came in a room begging for money for Girls Rock. And who was sitting at the table? Connie Kerrigan. Don't look like me. Grew up in Leo and Muncie. I grew up in Fort Wayne urban area. But the stick of a Q-tip connected us. She never forgot what role I played on my side of the Q-tip. And I never forgot what role she played on her side of the Q-tip. And so, you know, I'm real big on, you know, people understanding those kind of things. And so that was a symbol of the medicine bottle. And I stuck it all in the medicine bottle because when we see medicine bottles, we think of healing. We want whatever's in there to heal us. We will pay money. We will do whatever. And so that's why I stuck it in the medicine bottle. And I tell parents, don't eat my M&Ms. Don't eat the M&M. Don't take my Band-Aid out if you can't find one, because I need you to always remember, you know, the role that these items play and can play for you. So,
and what a powerful symbol for these mothers to have in their home to look at every day.
Yeah.
And what powerful reminders for them to be focusing on as they go through their challenges.
Yeah.
You talked a few moments ago about how so many of the young girls and mothers that are connected to this program are very put together, but underneath are hurting. Mm-hmm. Would you share a little bit about the program that you put together for your video that helped to showcase this in a really unique way?
Yeah, I had, wow, I love that video. I can't wait to show it March 5th. But we have a program that we had done. And it was called, I think, The Makeover. It was the fashion show. I can't even remember the title. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
But what we did was, the girls were, they're all stunning. You know, typical high school girls. And most would see them in the classrooms or in buildings or wherever and think, ooh, got it all together. And so we had some people make them over, you know, and they did a runway fashion show at one of our events. But as they walked the runway, their voiceover was talking, and it told a story with their photos about things that they had experienced. And one of the young ladies was a part of a 5-family murder here recent, maybe about 3 or 4 years ago, and she survived. And so she's the only one out of her family that lived. And, you know, the girls in the room and moms, you have no idea. And this is what we wanted people to understand. You know, one of the girls really suffered with depression because of the loss of her grandmother, you know, who really spoke life into her. Another young lady, because she's mixed and beautiful hair and skin, you know, was always bullied in school. And so for a while she became the mean girl and then realized that that wasn't who she was and had to fight her way back emotionally to come to a safe place of owning her own beauty, you know, and being comfortable with it. And, you know, the other young lady that's in the video has been in foster care since her 13th birthday. The day of her birthday, she went into foster care, and she is now 18. But the journey for them has just been extraordinary, tumultuous, and amazing all in one, you know. And what we want from the video is that you understand the power of one, because it only takes one woman, one person, one caring adult to be a game changer for a lot of young women. The second thing is that we want girls to understand they got to own their own beauty. You got to own not just the beauty of your skin, of your hair, of your clothing, but the beauty of your own being. You know that, you know, we don't get to choose our parents. We don't get to choose the adults that are supposed to care for us. You know, so whenever that doesn't go the way that the world or that it should, how can we still birth greatness? And so two of those girls are doing that. What do you do when, you know, a person decides to take every adult from your life in your face in a very horrific, horrific way? You know, and so for that fashion show, that was not the intention, was that we do it in a way that is beautiful and elegant, but we wanted the room to get still, to understand that even when we think we are at our worst, there is always someone else fighting something that you would probably never get to understand. You're blessed. And we wanted girls to understand that teasing and taunting and being negative and bullying at the school, you never ever realize what some girls are fighting from. Some girls are fighting to make it through the door of a school or a program that you're in, and to judge them based off their clothes or the hair or the big scar on their neck that you don't realize somebody tried to kill them and they lived. So that big scar on their neck is a symbol of courageousness and bravery, you know, that a man tried to take from them and killed their whole family in their face. So you don't know why this big bruise that you tease and talk about every day, that's a symbol of courage. And so we wanted to make them have empathy, not make them, help them gain empathy for others beyond themselves in the fashion show. And it worked. It's powerful, you know. And to open parents up, be a listener, sit still with your daughters, watch them from afar. You know, catch some signs when they may be veering off course and they're struggling. That sometimes the best moves are silent. All that yelling and fussing and cussing and draws them further away. But when you get silent and you just watch and be the cotton ball and allow them to land safely, it's a beautiful thing. It's all dropping. And so Girls Rock has been privileged to be the cotton ball, and I'm thankful and grateful for that.
Does Girls Rock have any events coming up that our listeners may be interested in learning about, either to support the organization or to participate?
We have an event March 5th that is a fundraiser for Girls Rock. It will be at Indiana Tech College. It's in the Multiflex Center. Doors open at 7:30. It starts at 8 o'clock. Like I said, it's a fundraiser, and we're just excited to have the community come out. We have a keynote speaker, Jessica Collins, who is a former Girls Rock. She's now an ambassador. She lives in Atlanta, but she still helps us from afar. Wanting to have her come, she is the epitome of what Girls Rock wants and pushes for our girls to be. She has a powerful testimony of pain to purpose, and I want our city to hear it and want them to know how, even when you move away and you have college and all of that you've gone through, that you can still give back. And so that's a part of the Girls Rock Pledge.
Where can people go to find more information about that event?
They can go to the Girls Rock Facebook page. That is Fort Wayne Girls Rock on Facebook and Instagram. We also have an Eventbrite, Fort Wayne Girls Rock, that you can go to for tickets and information on that.
And for our listeners, Girls Rock is spelled G-I-R-L-Z.
Yes, G-I-R-L-Z. You can call me, 260-705-7243. And also email me. I love emails. And our email is fwgirlswithansrock@gmail.com.
Well, thank you so much for being here with us today, Danita. This has been such a moving conversation, and I'm just truly inspired and blown away by the work that you're doing for our young women in the city.
Thank you for, you know, again, being a voice. And, you know, as I said before, I am excited to see how things continue to birth for you and your partner, because I'm looking at the work that you guys are quietly birthing. And so I want you to not despise small beginnings. Respect it, trust it, and own it. I think greatness is up on you. And continue to hear the voice of what he tells you to do for the people. You know, so I'm excited to I'm just humbled at having the opportunity to encounter and experience you ladies as well.
For all of you listening, there will be links in the show notes to the Girls Rock website and their social media presences. So please do take a look at some of the programs that they have coming up.
Women Are Fort Wayne is sponsored by the Community Foundation of Greater Fort Wayne. For nearly 100 years, the Community Foundation of Greater Fort Wayne has connected people and resources to build a more vibrant community. Three ways the Community Foundation does this is through helping people make their charitable giving more impactful, connecting funding to effective nonprofits through grant making, and by providing leadership to address community needs and improve quality of life. To learn more, visit cfgfw.org today.
So I'm just gonna go, you're great.
No, you're great. No, you're great.
Hi, this is Lisa Van Meter, owner of Shadowlands Photography in Fort Wayne, and I'm also starting a new project called The Garden. I want to give a shout out to Jamie Wilkinson, who is an amazing woman who really knows how to reach out to somebody when they need something and always comes unexpectedly. The other day I was working on a project and was having a really terrible day, which she did not even know about. But she showed up at my new venue and brought with her a bracelet that said thankful. She took it off her wrist and put it on mine and just gave me a huge hug and said, I was just thinking about you. And I can't express how much that lifted me up in that moment. I needed a little pick-me-up. And she is a woman who is just a force of beauty and grace, and she spreads love and never wants attention for those things, but I'm going to give it to her anyway because she just blessed me so much that day.
Thank you, Lisa, so much for your shout out. That was really, really lovely. We have another really sweet shout out for Kendra Johnson, which we got before our first episode of the season went live. Kendra, you are obviously very beloved, and now I totally want to meet you. Mary Moore wrote in about Kendra saying, "She's an incredible friend to so many. She's organized countless charity events and is the first person to show up if you ever experience a loss to offer to make such a time a little less painful. She's the singer of a punk band and a supremely talented hairstylist. But when I think of Kendra," Mary says, "the first thing I think of is her thoughtful and loving spirit." If you would like to give a shout out, here are a few ways to do it. Feel free to call our voicemail at 260-355-5734. That's a Google Voice number, so you can call anytime and just leave a voicemail. If you get inspired at 6 a.m. or 3 in the morning, please feel free to give us a ring. You can also email in your shout out at womenarefortwayne@gmail.com. Those can be anonymous at request, or I'm happy to read your name. Just let me know what you would like me to read on the air. You can also send us a message on Facebook or Instagram if that's easier for you. Also, keep an eye out for us at upcoming events. We're going to be recording shoutouts live and accepting written notes on the spot if you're feeling shy. I have one announcement this week. You may remember from back in our third episode, Nikki Meyer talked a little bit about the pottery she was starting to create. Well, since then, Nikki has started selling handmade pottery, including planters, jewelry, mugs, and other goodies under the name Earth and Wear. Her beautifully body-positive work depicts the human body in all its sizes and skin tones. She also features pottery with what she refers to as obscenities, so do be warned that some of her pieces are not safe for work. She now has an Etsy store called Ni Te Mi, which is the first two letters of each of her names, so it's Nitemi. I'm absolutely in love with her charming creations and can't wait to get some myself. If you're curious, there's a link in the show notes to her Etsy shop. If you have any feedback or ideas or guest recommendations, please feel free to call and email. Today's song, I'm Free, by Pamela featuring Sherelle, is a powerful collaboration between two Fort Wayne women. Pamela got inspired to write this song at a point in her life when she was surrounded by people who gave off negative vibes, and it was destroying her inner peace. She says, "It was time to set myself free from the burdens and negativity surrounding me and focus on the importance of self-preservation." Such a powerful message. At the time, Pamela and Sherelle Nightbreed were performing their own music together at shows, and Pamela says she fell in love with Sherelle's voice and style, so she asked her to be part of this song. Sherelle says that her heart drove her to write her verse in the song. She says, "I was wanting to help and heal everyone in need, but at the end of the day, there was no one I could reach out to, and I was only left drained. It was a lot of weight on my shoulders trying to carry everyone's burden, while I came out with nothing, and so I made the decision to look out for myself first and free myself." I think we've all been in a place in our lives where we needed to break free from toxic negativity and focus on building ourselves up. And I can't think of a more perfect way to end today's conversation with Danita Washington. So that brings us to the end of our episode. We'll be back in 2 weeks with Crystal Van Wallstrom, the Managing Director of Innovation for Electric Works, for another great conversation about the work women are doing to make Fort Wayne great. Until then, have a great one.
yeah. Switch the lane, press the gas down. When they see me, ain't no speaking, guess they mad now.
Women Are Fort Wayne is a production of Monstrous Regiment Media and distributed by WBOI in Fort Wayne, Indiana. This episode was written and produced by Stephanie Gottesman and Tracy Henning Kohlberg, and edited by Adam Blackburn. Our episodes are recorded at Silver Birch Studio, with an extra thank you to sound engineer Steve Tyler and assistant engineer Harrison Tyler. We appreciate you subscribing, rating, and reviewing the show on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, or wherever else you get your podcasts. You can also visit us at womenr.us or follow us on Facebook and Instagram. New episodes are released every 2 weeks. You can check out other content from WBOI on Facebook. Until next time, thanks for listening. From WBOI Fort Wayne.